The state of Massachusetts saw some 36,000 admissions last year into heroin treatment programs. In the Boston area, the number of 18 and 19-year-olds seeking emergency room treatment related to heroin use doubled between 2000 and 2002. As part of our series this week on heroin in America, NPR's Chris Arnold reports on some Boston families who are taking things into their own hands.
For a long time, people who had a heroin addict in the family wouldn't talk about it because of the stigma. But in Boston, things have gotten so bad that average everyday people are deciding they have to do something, and they're not embarrassed or ashamed as much as they are just plain angry.
We just got really pissed off at the system.
Karen McDonald is a tough 48-year-old hotel worker from the blue-collar, historically Irish Catholic neighborhood of South Boston. She's showing us the tiny new office of the South Boston Family Resource Center, the volunteer group she started with 10 other mothers from the community, all of whom have kids who got hooked on heroin.
We got the paint donated, the computers we got from my friend Kevin, who was getting rid of his old computers.
One of McDonald's projects here is setting up a 24-hour telephone helpline for young people in the community who are in trouble with drugs. McDonald's already been giving her cell phone number out to kids, taking calls at work or late at night at home. McDonald says her own son got into drugs when he was 16. She says he was an honor student, a good hockey player, and just a nice kid. First it was pot, then painkillers, and over the next couple of years, things got worse.
My dog went into his room and he came out of the room and, like, what do you got? It was a needle. That's how, you know, what are you using this needle for? And then my son just told me, I use heroin. And that's just how he said it. I'm using heroin. He was 18.
The 5 years since then have been a nightmare. Police officers or ambulances coming to the house in the middle of the night. Her son's OD'd 3 or 4 times. McDonald says the last time was the worst. He'd just gotten back from a week in a detox program, and a family friend named Scott was coming by to take him to a recovering addicts meeting. Her son was taking a shower, but didn't answer when she called him.
I opened the door, and there he was on the bathroom floor, with the needle hanging out of his arm. Blue. Scott knew exactly what was going on. He runs in the bathroom. How he revived, I don't know. He must have a guardian angel or something.
It's fear of their kids dying that's driven McDonald and many other parents to get their own sons or daughters arrested and locked up in jail just to try to keep them alive.
Hi. My name's Maureen.
It's a Monday night, and about 50 health workers, recovered addicts, politicians, and concerned residents are gathered at a local hospital in Boston to talk about the city's growing drug problem. Karen and some of the other mothers have come out tonight to push for longer and better drug treatment programs. Maureen Harvey gets up in front of the group.
I never thought I'd be standing here saying this, and I'm still nervous, so bear with me.
The mothers are frustrated that the state will only pay to lock their kids up for 3 days or a week of what they call a spin-dry detox treatment, but will keep them in jail with no treatment for years on petty drug-related charges.
My son's been in jail over a year now. I'd love to see him out, but at the same time, I know he's safe. The way I'm looking at it is that the prisons are full of kids who have a disease. They don't need prisons. They need treatment.
State Senator Diane Wilkerson here is struck by people like Maureen. She tells the group that 10 years ago, parents would never have gotten up in public to talk about heroin.
No one can tell that story the way you tell that story. We're going to have people from every corner of our city and every corner of our state, because that's where this is coming from. There is no community that has been protected.
Heroin is now the number one cause of drug-related deaths in the Boston area, with annual deaths involving heroin nearly doubling in a recent five-year period to 68 fatalities in 2001, the most recent data available. Emergency room visits for teenagers have risen sharply since then, but in just the past year, budget cuts have resulted in a 40% reduction in the number of state-funded detox beds in Boston. So the mothers are doing all they can.
Hi, Karen. Hi, it's Tiffany. I'm all right.
Tiffany is one of about 10 young heroin users who the mothers are in pretty regular touch with.
Oh, okay.
They make phone calls to rehabs and detox facilities trying to find beds for the kids when they decide they want to get sober, and the mothers do the whole thing over again if the kids relapse. Tiffany is 19 years old. She didn't want to give her last name. She started using heroin when she was 16 after a friend started giving her OxyContin pills.
We take a couple, like, just drive around, listen to music, and, like, I thought I was partying and having fun, and I ended up catching a habit doing it. Eventually, I started having to, like, buy them myself, and it was too expensive, so I started doing heroin. It was, like, a lot cheaper. And then, like, I started off sniffing that, and then you don't get high enough anymore, and then it's, like, more expensive, so you start shooting it. And it's really hard to stop after that.
Tiffany says she's been off heroin for less than 2 months now. She decided to quit after a 19-year-old friend she grew up with in South Boston died of an overdose. Tiffany's staying at her father's house out in Quincy, Massachusetts, to try to keep away from the people and places where she used to get high. Even when she was using heroin, she used to stop by Karen McDonald's house.
I would sit at the table and talk to her, and, like, she tried a lot to, like, talk a lot of sense into me, but, like, when I was getting high, I didn't really want to hear it. She just, like, let me know that she was there for me, so when I did need help, and, like, when I wanted to go into detox, I called her. She gave me a ride to detox.
Since Tiffany quit, she's been calling McDonald on the phone.
If I'm having, like, a really bad day, like, I want to go out and use, she can talk me out of it. Before I hang up the phone, like, I feel a lot better.
There's something very brave about Karen McDonald taking calls at her hotel job or working out of the group's small office, because along with the very real hope she has for some kids, there's something tragic that hangs in the air, too. For all the work she's doing, McDonald would, of course, most of all like to help her own son. But she's not reaching him. He's spent 3 of the past 5 years locked up in detoxes, halfway houses, or jail. He's in jail now for violating probation. McDonald once again turned him in herself because she was afraid of him overdosing.
I wanted to keep my son alive. Am I going to succeed? 99% of me says no. No, I think my son will die unless we have a miracle, as far as I can see it. It's sad because I've done everything I could.
A few days after McDonald told us this, one of the other mothers in the group lost her 23-year-old son to a heroin overdose. Chris Arnold, NPR News, Boston.
Tomorrow, heroin reaches a small town in Maine. Facts on heroin are at npr.org.